Good morning. I have no relationships, financial or otherwise, to disclose. And today I'll be talking about the Fitness by Design project we have going at Mount Olive College. I want to recognize Christopher Dyer, Eric Nance, and Katie Nanichker. They're here with me tonight, this morning. This is the outline of the presentation we're going to have today. We're going to talk about, in general, obesity in North Carolina, just some tidbits, where we're located, the conceptual model of the program description, demographics of our participants, outcomes we have, pictures of our garden, challenges, and the future of the program. So I know a lot of focus and emphasis is on child obesity, but we've got to keep remembering that we have an adult obesity problem. In North Carolina, it is still happening. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Effort and Fat Report has consistently shown that we're not doing as well as we think we should be doing. So we've actually moved up in ranking, and now in 2010, we're the 10th most obese state for adults in the United States. In terms of activity, we're, again, a population that is physically inactive. Mount Olive, a lot of you might not know where that is. It's just so near Goldsboro, but you probably know us from the Mount Olive Pickles. It's all over the country, and most people eat it, I think. So that's where we're located. We're the pickle capital of the nation. And the program started in 2008 at the Pope Wellness Center, and it's focused on low-income, vulnerable, obese adults. We have a tri-county area of Wayne County, Sampson, and Duplin, and there's a tier one poor counties in North Carolina that we serve. Now, this is our model. This is our basis for doing what we do. We believe that we'll have to do those three things well to get the required changes that we want in terms of changing lifestyle and changing weight for adult populations. So starting with exercise fitness, looking at the physical activity, we envisage that we get people to walk out, do more physical activity, they will lose weight. But there's no point doing that without also teaching them nutrition. So they have to know that if you go to the gym or if you walk out, you don't walk out the door and down the 64-ounce soda bottle. You've just lost everything you did. So on the left side, we have the food for health conceptual piece of this construct that we have, and we have workshops created there where we actually teach people how to eat, what to eat, and how to cook. And then we've got the social fitness model, which includes a community fitness garden that we built that allows them to come out and grow those things themselves. So it complements the workshops. These are the ideas you have, now go out, grow them, and that's another piece of physical activity for them. Bringing all of that together, we measure. We don't want to just take your words for it. We want to see if we're actually achieving the outcome, so we have health assessment ongoing. That was the model that we started with. This is the program in detail. For you to come into the program, you have to be referred by a physician. So you get a physician referral, and we did that specifically because we wanted monitoring outside of the program. Because we're targeting very high-risk populations, we didn't want something that we did to lead to worsen their healthcare conditions, and it's worked out really nice. Must be adults, 18 or older, obese or overweight, starting with a BMI of greater than 25, low income, as based on Medicaid low income thresholds, but we modified that so we only looked at one person in the home for income reasons. The participants must be able and willing to attend 3 days per week of training in the gym at Mount Olive College of exercise, and they get one extra day they can come in just to work out themselves, and this is all free. The intake process for them getting into the program is they have a physical activity specialist who takes them after they get referred by the physician. We collect baseline data information. We conduct a PARQ physical activity questionnaire. We do a health history questionnaire assessment so we know what comorbidities are present so we can adapt the program for the individual based off of that. The best piece of our program is we don't tell them how much to lose. It's client directed. So we just don't let you get away with zero. You've got to do something. So most people come and say, okay, let's do £5 a month, £10 a month, whatever it is. And we found that has been very helpful, because once they achieve it, they're excited and say, well, I can double that. And eventually they do that. They get a fitness buddy assigned. I'll talk about that. And this has all those three components started. So one of the most critical pieces of our project are the fitness buddies. And this are exercise science majors at Mount Olive College. And the reason we love this project and we hope it can be replicated by other people is particularly for rural locations where there are resource constraints. You can take what you have in your college and your community, if you have a gym with the students, and it's a win-win situation. So the student majors get assigned as fitness buddy, almost like the famous Biggest Loser we have on TV. So you get individualized motivators training to get you through your physical activity. So those fitness buddies are trained by the Pope Wellness Center fitness specialists, so we have standardizations. They're required to maintain a professional attitude. We'll make it almost like an internship for them so they can put it on their resume, so it's a win-win for everyone. We also have a garden manager buddy. This a Greek business major is trained by the Greek specialist and faculty in what needs to be planted during fall, spring. We have tree planting season, and they're also required to help maintain the garden beds and help the participant do what they can in the gardens. This is our demographics for our populations. The largest number, surprisingly, came from the elderly. Almost 47% of our population are elderly folks. We have about 85% of females, and 65% of minorities, African Americans, and I'll talk to that later. Most of them come from where we're located, which is Wayne County, and when they came into the program, the largest proportion of the participants, almost 36%, were obese. That is, they had a BMI, obese level 3, of greater than 40, and we've actually had people with 60 or more BMI, so these were people who needed this project. Based on our health history questionnaire, the top 5 comorbidities reported was high blood pressure, almost 70%, high cholesterol, diabetes, heart conditions, and asthma. Some of our outcomes. We looked at just reporting for 2009, where we followed 92 people. Total combined waist circumference loss was 945 inches. Combined weight loss was 1,208 pounds. 15 participants lost 1 to 20 pounds, 12 lost 21 to 40, 8 lost 41 to 60, and 20 lost greater than 60 pounds. We have a Biggest Loser who lost 82 pounds in 1 year. We're excited about that. 41% of our clients moved from one BMI level to the next lower level of BMI, and 20 clients moved from obese level 2 to obese level 1. We looked at, we aggregated physical outcome measures, weight, BMI, blood pressure, and waist circumference to see how they were doing across all those 4 outcomes. Almost 35% had a change in all the 4 outcomes. Another 37% had a change in at least 2 of the outcomes, and combined, over 70% had at least 2 changes in those outcomes. Well, everything was not all okay. Well, we had some people who just didn't lose weight, actually put on weight, but those were 4.4%. Average blood pressure, remember blood pressure was the number one comorbidity we had, dropped from 81/31 to 75/125. Nutrition outcomes, this is reporting from the nutritional workshop. We had 94% of respondents saying they are preparing and eating more of the meals at home, which was one of the things the nutrition workshop was trying to get across. 75% now eat more vegetables. 94% are more mindful of what they eat. And what happens in those workshops is we actually demonstrate in this can of soda, this is the amount of sugar. And you see how their eyes go, no, I'm not going to drink that much sugar. Well, that's what you do. The fitness garden, we got 14,000 square foot fitness garden planned in spring, summer, and fall, consistently oversubscribed. Although most people told us we're in a farming location, people are not going to want to farm. Well, they loved it. They love going out, and they love the harvest. They took it around to friends. Hey, get some fruits, get some vegetables. It was really nice. And individually, they got about 200 to 250 pounds of food, and collectively from the community beds, they got 1,200. And some of the garden pictures you hear is set up in this way that we have different types of beds, and I'll explain some of them. This is the minimum exertion bed. There are some of the, again, based on their age, they cannot bend, and they're too old to do that. So they get the higher beds so they can sit and tend to their plants. This is the moderate exertion. It's not as high, but for people who can bend lower a bit, and this is the maximum exertion for people who will consider you should be able to do some. So it's built in such a way that you're actually doing some activity while planting. Some of our clients getting their food. Those are the community beds. Those are summer crops. We had some unplanned outcomes that we did not look for, but were nice. Well, one of our participants got taken off of depression medications, and this was because there was a cycle she had. She was obese. She didn't like to meet people, so she stayed at home, became a couch potato. So it became a cycle. She ate more, gained more weight. She came into this program, saw people who looked like her, started talking, and now has lost so much weight and done so well that a physician is taken out of depression medications. We got the Yugo Girl Network in the South, and this is a group of women there who said, hey, we call ourselves Yugo Girl, how are you doing? And they monitor themselves around. And one of the stories we had was one of them saw another person at the buffet and said, hey, girl, what are you doing at the buffet? I said, look, I got broccoli. It's not bad food, you know, I'm eating healthy. We got sermon on the go. We got two clergymen who come in on Mondays walking out on the treadmills. And what they're doing is they're comparing sermons. How did your sermon go? And they're walking out, and it's been beautiful. Town of Mount Olive is talking to us. We got high schools calling us for this version. How did we do this? Well, community. Make everybody feel wanted, accepted, help them achieve their goals one by one. Some will fail, pull them back up. We provided all the enabling factors for them to succeed. Be realistic. Some of the goals you want to set for those people, they can't do it. Walk with them and you get those things. And the staff, wonderful. I can talk much about the staff. They're wonderful. The fitness buddies, the fitness specialists we have, they just keep the population going. They tell them, give me 4 press-ups, give me 4 push-ups, give me this, give me that. There's a fun back and forth banter between them. Challenges, if you notice on the demographics, we don't have any Hispanics, and we have a big migrant population. Yeah, we're really struggling enrolling them. And if you have ideas, we'll love to take them. Men don't want to go to the nutrition classes. It's a Southern thing. The women cook. We're not going to the kitchen. So why do I want to go sit at the classes? So we're trying to get them. That's that. Keep in the community engaged. Drop-offs. This population look for jobs, and so sometimes they have to leave because of employment. Funding remains a challenge in this tough funding environment, but we're hoping we can keep this process going. Next step, we will maintain and add more participants, up to 300, and hopefully make this a replicable model for everybody to take along. I think if insurance agencies are doing health and wellness programs, Medicare and Medicaid should also be able to do such programs, at least help us bring down healthcare costs. Special thanks to the KB Reynolds Charitable Trust. They provided the grants, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation, Pope Wellness Center team, Dr. Sandy Maddox, a great business team, and our wonderful fitness buddies. Thank you. Yes. The nutritionists work with them to give them nutrition that is more Southern, based on the location. We know, you know, and most of the complaints were, well, it doesn't taste the way I like it to taste. Well, you find a way to modify it and try to show them the trade-off between the fried this and fried this taste and how you can bake to get that crispy, you know, taste. And yeah, so we included that. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Did you notice any differences in the age groups in terms of
Yes, the men stayed in most times. One of the things we found in the program was we found a lot of the, I'm not doing anything. The couples came in, men and women came in together, and they usually stayed unless the woman left. If the wife leaves, the man goes with them. But I'm sorry. Yeah. The other thing. Not really. We had consistencies across both men and women. We didn't have any differences by gender.
By age.
Well, the elderly lost more weight compared to the younger population. And that's because they have a network of things going. The You Go Girl network I talked about is really consists of the elderly ladies who come together. So they go outside of the program and self-motivate and do other things for themselves. So maybe if we had a lot more younger people and they formed their own clique, we would have better outcomes with them. Yes, ma'am. No, we did not provide childcare, and that was one of the complaints they had when they had to attend the nutritional classes, because they had to balance it with, I wanted to go home and this, and one of the things the nutritionist did was, hey, bring your child. Maybe they can learn something while we're there together. So we did have some children come for those classes, but we were financially constrained to provide childcare.
Yes, ma'am.
I
know you have to catch a plane.
All right.
Good to talk to you after. Did you have any issues with literacy or health literacy? Did that come up at all?
No, because we didn't really provide them materials, and because we had this individual fitness buddies who explained everything in detail, we didn't need that. So it was more of a conversational piece. This is why you need to do this. This is what this will do. We're not talking over your heads. We're just having someone right there for you at every point. Yes, ma'am. Well, we haven't, our hope, this is our eventual goal, is to, as they go down the BMI levels, get to normal, then we hope they've taken that behavior and they can do that on their own outside of that. But we didn't plan for something later for them. But this is the third year of the project. We've had 135 people come in. We have a retention rate of about 70%. So we're hoping we can have some people who can say, well, I started at this, and this is where I am, and encourage other people. Yes, ma'am.
You said that one of your requirements was physician referral.
Yes.
For your Hispanic population, particularly because a lot of them, you said, are the migrant community, have you thought of maybe not making that a requirement?
Yes, we have, but we're also careful about liability and IRB. If we don't have a physician monitoring, for instance, we get physicians who tell us, take this person off because they're not doing well and thinks they might go into stroke and stuff. Those are things we cannot measure. We measure waist circumferences, all the things, but we don't do invasive measurements to know what's going on. So we really would like to keep that referral piece because we want to know if they're good, they're healthy enough to do what we want them to do. Yeah, and that's, we're really working for this. So one of the things we want to do with Hispanics is go to the Catholic Church, get them involved, look for Hispanic providers, see if we can link with that. We have links with the community health centers. But if you have any other ideas, we'll take it. Yes, ma'am. Well, right now, we're not, when people leave the program, we try to get information on them, but we can't mandate them to come in. It's only when you come in that we take those measures. So what we usually do is do an exit interview, like, why did you leave? What did we do? What could we do better? And things like that. But after they leave, some of them move out of the county. There's just nothing we can do. Yes, ma'am. They come in 3 days a week. They have to be there 3 days a week, and then they get an extra day to come in. But we're keeping them in the program as long as we get funding, or till they get to the normal weight level That's our goal. So once they get normal, there's no point keeping them there, but hopefully we'll give them access to the gym and they can come in and do, and we'll help other folks. All right. Thank you. My apologies, I have to hit the airport, but I have two willing staff members here. We could also take your questions later. Thank you so much.